Good morning and welcome to Our Black Radio.
Welcome to the Ron and Don Show on Blog Talk Radio.
You're not casting yet. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, listening in on Our Black News on Blog Talk Radio. We are in a preparation to start the online version through Restream, and so we will be simulcasting here shortly using both platforms. So just stand by with us. You'll hear some of our background chatter as we move to figure out if we're actually broadcasting once we hit that broadcast key. So thanks for tuning in. Are you guys ready?
I'm live over here, Don.
Okay, let me just let me log in real quick here to something. I should have had this set up. I apologize. There you go. So also today, if you're on Blog Talk Radio, you can go Our Black News, hashtag MN to on YouTube and watch the show today live in real time. It's actually going to be broadcasting here in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Good morning and welcome to Our Black News. I'm Don Allen. Over there at the end is Mr. Jonathan Mason. And in the middle is Mr. Anthony Scott. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing, and how has the week been for you?
You know what? I've had a wonderful week. Getting a lot of business done, trying to, just see what's next after this election, trying to see if it's going to be wrong with everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think Anthony can hear us right away, so we're going to have him to work on that, that challenge that on the broadcast there. I have to probably go to his house one day next week, Jonathan, and sit down with him and go through this so we can, because he has a little bit of a delay, but we'll check back with him in about a minute because we want to set up the show today. And what were you saying now about the week?
Yeah, just with everything, you know, right now we're in a very peculiar dilemma, obviously with the infection spiking all across the nation.
Yep.
Is one of those cities that looks like we're going to be going towards a lockdown. We've talked about this. I know I've talked about it on my show, Mornings with Nation, numerous times about, you know, the Minnesota nurses that are speaking out and saying, you know what, enough is enough. We don't have enough PPE. We don't have enough stuff. I talked a lot about this. People are saying, well, record numbers and all this. Well, there's going to be a record number stock market drop. It's going to look like a crash coming up here January 20th. We're going to go down to a 5 to 6 week lockdown all across the nation, executive order by Joe Biden. So this is going to strategically affect so many different people and so many different levels because they know what they're doing and it looks like we're going with five. They want who voted for the prosecutor, who voted for the AG.
Yep.
She's different than Daniel Cameron, Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
So when do we wake up systematically and say, as
I can't hear you, Ron.
You have no audio on the phone, no audio on Blog Talk.
Against ignorance and saying we can do it, but we have to stop fighting with each other. We have to come together. We got to quit basically hating on each other. And if Don made it, I'm not upset. If they said one day, Don, it's time for Don to go on KSTP or Fox 9 and he got his own show and Jonathan can't come, I can't cry.
And you know, that's a big part of the issue and the challenge that I think is happening and that's going on in our community. And I don't know how we address that in a way that will be even meaningful, because you have so many things under COVID-19 and under these restrictions we're getting ready to get hit with one way or the other. There's not a lot of opportunity because we're already, you know, caught in a trick bag, basically. And until we get to the point of where we have our own and take ownership of what we want, how we want it, you know, it's still troubling in a big way. But
really, like you just said, it is troubling. And how I perceive it, this is where I'm advised to black, as well. You go to the spot where they say they're not going to have help. So you can't scream racism until you follow all of the steps. And then when you get to the last step, and your shit is the best, and your stuff is the best, and the most, it doesn't matter what it is. Then they tell you no.
Yeah.
I'm saying something to you, or you can pray, you scream, rape, whatever, and then you can see colluding. You can sue them. You can pull their emails, subpoena emails, and they might cash out. I know the ball game real well.
Yeah, and so that happens to us. That happens to us all the time. I mean, we're probably the people that go.
5% of the time, though, because 5 to 10% of the time, because we have to live in reality and say, guess what? We didn't even do the contracting. We didn't even do the training. They said all the people that applied for nonprofits were people who were trying to stop anti-violence. You guys didn't start a hedge fund for black folks. You didn't start a venture capitalist firm. You didn't start a real estate company with guys that put your money together and invest. You guys didn't do that. You guys all band together on the anti-violence. And then you guys, so we found out y'all were the ones causing the damn virus.
Yeah, and these nonprofits, you know, it just cracks me up because a lot of people are – that really that I see, and I don't mean to be critical. I mean, I love our community. And
oh, I'm hypercritical.
Yeah, and you when you look at stuff and you kind of dig through the guts of it to kind of see what's happening, you know, a lot of these agencies aren't working. And a lot of these agencies are awarded to people in the black community because that's all they can do. And they don't have the experience.
They have to shuffle their paperwork.
Yeah.
Remember, the Somali community said, y'all will get this. You told me simply like this. The reason why y'all ain't getting no contracts and none, you don't even know how to fill out the paperwork. You can't even get there. And so what, even in the black community, we can't.
How do they know how? Because where did they come from? What makes them so smart? What made them so smart
elders,
all of a sudden? Where they didn't have no,
I'm gonna tell you,
they didn't have no schools or nothing. How are they so smart?
Are doing the training program. The Urban League should be doing this shit for us. We should have the NAACP doing it for us.
They're not interested in that. They're not. The NAACP and Urban League is not interested in collaborating with the middle class at all whatsoever. They're not interested, and they have not been interested for 25 years because the grant thing, you know, if you help poor people, we'll give you this money. We'll give you this grant for $1 million if you go through your community and make sure all the kids have coats and boots in the winter, or we'll do that. They're not going to give any money to the Urban League if they said we're going to get the middle class blacks and Hispanic Latino people in the Twin Cities and we're going to teach them how to do contract engagement with the state, the city, and the county for those everything from filing to office cleanup, so you can engage in those RFPs that come out. I get Jonathan and Anthony. I get these emails every week from the counties, both counties, Ramsey and Hennepin, the state of Minnesota. The Department of Administration is basically sends all this stuff out. They send these.
I'm asking about isn't there an agency that's supposed to work with black folks?
Well, see, all the agencies within the agencies have a civil right mechanism, which is placed there to work with black folks and disadvantaged. We have to label ourselves. Here goes the thing with the state. I'm going to give you guys some knowledge here. Listen to this. if you want to do a contract with the state of Minnesota and you're a black contractor, the easiest way for you to get in, number one, is call yourself a disadvantaged enterprise, black enterprise, or a disadvantaged business enterprise. You have to be disadvantaged first, okay?
Hey, but look, being black in America is already being
disadvantaged. Okay. And the system stands with the state of Minnesota. So once you do that, you know, you have an opportunity to kind of get in and do some things, but you still have to understand the bidding process. And that process is very detailed, and that process is hinged on making sure that your tax and your banking records are straight, number one. Number two, you have the capacity of pulling something off. And that's what shocks me, because I know agencies, including the Urban League and other agencies in Minneapolis and St. Paul, that do not have the capacity or the brain power or the people with the brain power to pull any of this shit off, excuse my French. But yet they're still getting money.
Right. But so and really, you know, that's why I think it's really imperative when we talk about why do we have to be labeled black. And see, this is another thing. Hell, is this what it is?
Mm-hmm.
That's a perfect example. They say they put it on the application, white, black, Native American, Hispanic, whatever the case may be, okay? Then we got a whole bunch of Negroes that go in there, right?
Yep, low vibration.
Even claim being down there, right? And the black folks, oh, you don't, you're not approved, okay? You're not approved. Now, we're sitting there like, hey, should we check black? I know so many black people who don't even check black because they're embarrassed of being black, so they miss the benefits of being black. And so it's so crazy.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is. You go in there and they make you check, are you black? And then you be sitting there, well, my great grandma was Native American. She had straight good hair.
Yeah.
And look, she had good.
Oh, hell no. Yeah, you're absolutely right. But see, I guess what I'm trying to get at is that we have to come to a point where we need to sit down, get together, and work on. Move on an agenda that makes sense, okay? Some of this stuff that they do, it don't make sense. I mean, if...
Well, Don, let me say this. Does it make sense then for us, you know, as concerned citizens, to maybe even try to take over things like the NAACP?
I mean...
It doesn't seem like they have a money...
But you got to understand...
They already have a money...
This is not the
end.
This is not the NAACP of the 1950s, 60s, or 70s.
This is the DFL.
This is not. Yeah, and the NAACP is just an acronym. It's not actually a functioning. You know, I don't look at those folks as celebrities, and I know some of them think they're celebrities.
Hell no.
And I'm like, wait a minute, who are you? What movie were you in?
Yeah.
You know, and if you're an agency like that. I see people getting appointed to the NAACP, the Urban League, all these other places, to this and that, to do this. Yeah, I know. Yeah, Sam Myers' daughter. Sam, I'm going to tell you something about that. Sam Myers is one of the smartest black men I've ever met in Minnesota and talked to and had great conversations. His data on situations in Minnesota among black people is the premier data, period. Sam Myers' data at the University of Minnesota on black Minnesotans is the premier data. Everything that we're talking about, every statistic that we're talking about involving black people, good, bad, and ugly, Sam Myers over the last 20, 30 years, or however long he's been doing it, has brought that information to the forefront. Every governor knows Sam Myers' information. Every state legislature, everybody knows that information is there. But the problem is, no one's addressing it. It's window dressing. Black people are in this particular. Again, Sam Myers' daughter. I don't remember her first name. I know she's an AKA, and she is the new president of the Minneapolis NAACP. But what's going to happen? What's going to be different? You know, I don't have enough data on her as a kid or as this appointment as a president to even say anything. I don't know what she's going to do. I know St. Paul NAACP, there's a young Somali girl in charge, woman in charge of it, and I haven't seen much movement in St. Paul. I know that, you know, 40% of our kids are failing in distance learning. We know that. And that's confirmed by a couple of chats here from folks that have been listening to the show here. And so with that said, how do we address this monster in the room that's actually going to end up economically disenfranchising us, because we already are economically disenfranchised? And at what point do we come together? I don't have a big, healthy surrounding system of black men in my profession, just simply because every black teachers group is operated and organized by either white male or white female.
And the institution of education within Minnesota has became or has become politicized, and now you do see more of a left-leaning, liberal type of agenda with school. And with that being said, I would imagine there would be more black kids. Okay? But what we're seeing is 1-3% in districts like, you know, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and why aren't you guys you're so for black rights? Why aren't you hiring these people? You can't tell me black folks are not.
Well,
what's going on?
No, well, Jim, not to cut you off, Jonathan, but gentlemen, this is about leadership. And this is where we are living in a rudderless situation right now from top to bottom. I'm going to put you 45. Oh, I voted for 45 and 45 did. And now it comes down to our great city that was referred to by the great Ron Edwards as the great Shangri-La, Twin City. We don't have any leadership from the mayor, from the city council. I mean, this is the poorest city council, the poorest, weakest mayor. The relationship between the police, the city council, and the mayor, nobody knows who's in charge. You know, this is where we have to really find a way to step up, because we don't have any leadership here.
Yeah,
there's no leadership in our organizations. There's no leadership in our schools. Ed Graff has a degree from an online. Who comes up from Alaska to lead the school district? He has no ties to this area. He doesn't know anything about this. So
and the data, and you're right. The data is reflecting exactly what you're saying, based on what's happening in the schools, and so. With that said, I mean, how the hell do we get to the point where something happens where it can be adjusted, it can be fixed, it can be retooled? But we have to do it. You know, we have to do it. I mean, there was a report, I think it's not the Pew Institute, but another research think tank out of Washington, D.C. came out with this short study. And I apologize, I don't have it in front of me right now, because we're actually broadcasting live on YouTube, on Blog Talk Radio with a Fire tablet, this little tiny Fire 7 tablet, and on LinkedIn with this old edition iPad. And I'm doing this morning, and the reason why I said this, I don't mean to take a pause on anything, but the reason why I said this is because of this fact that came out of D.C. They said within 10 years, black and Hispanic people it'll be like 73% outside of the workforce because of their lack of engagement with technology.
Right. And that's crazy that you say that, because I was just talking to somebody about that. They're saying that our generational wealth, net value or net worth in 2040 now, that's 20 years, about 19 years from now, will be zero. -$5.
Yeah. I mean, even if you watch movies about the future, you know, I don't really mean to be funny, but I'm a sci-fi fan and I love everything science fiction. There's no black folks in the future. Okay. And so, look at that. And so I'm saying, like, what the hell? What are we going to do? Where are we going to end up at? You know, what are we going to end up? And how is it going to end up? And so, with that said, we need to make sure that there are people in place that will take this mission on. Right now, there's not, and we need a radical triage, surgery, and post-surgery recovery to get to the point that we need to be beneficial. And so I know a lot of people, Jonathan, Anthony, they're out there navigating. I just sit back and watch because I watch them bump their heads, get angry for a minute, and then go back in the wrong direction. And I'm looking at why are black people in Minnesota with such a small number so far spread apart, and why do politicians and certain people in the black community have not passed the baton at all whatsoever, have not engaged. And I'm sorry to say this, but, you know, we're going to have a black VP in office. What will that effect have for black women? But more so, what will that effect have for black men?
And that's it right there. Black men, I'm telling you this now. We're going to be in three people are going to be attacking us, and it's increasing. I can feel it, and it's coming from our own, and it is because of why ain't black men helping out. Why, when I look at the numbers, you guys, and I'm just being honest, 96% of the shootings are black men, okay? 90% of the people...
But there's no such thing as black-on-black crime, but go ahead, I'm sorry.
Right. And I'm just saying, with people dying in general, so versus black women. Black women are just shot 2% of the time. Native American women are actually getting killed at a higher rate than black men. So it goes, black men and Native American women are at the top of the shooting, okay,
mm-hmm.
and killing and stuff like this. So these are the numbers, and when we talk about what is the incentive, what is going to happen, and what is the future for black men, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Particularly, I would say, the heterosexual alpha black men, right? And the one that society has shunned, the one that's targeted, the one that's getting killed amongst our own, the one that can't get a job, the one that has to, you know, have the tail between his legs, yes, and all that. Sad dance and there's no music and head scratch when his head don't itch. Why don't we address the main elephant in the room? And that's where I'm at. That's where I'm going. I'm fighting for the black man because I think we're left out.
Excuse me.
And I always have been.
I would agree.
Our, you know, extreme ability to adapt in these environments of danger at all times. You know, we're in danger at all times. So, and I think that just getting a job or even maintaining a job, just going to work, okay?
Yes.
And it is something.
What we have to realize is that why do we do these things? When you wake up this morning and you look at your little boy, you look at your little girl. God looks at his kid. I look at my kid. I look at him. This is why I do this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This is what it's about. It's not about the here and now. It's not me killing you. It's not me taking what you have so I can have. It's about so that we can help them. Because, see, we're this life ends, man. Everyone does. But we do this for the kids. We do this for the next generation. And if we bring our mentality back to where we're doing this for, we're going to continue to swim around in this sea and not find each other. You know, I thought this thing now. And until we really look at, we're in this generation. This is what we're doing for. And so we have a focus, man.
You're right.
To me.
So check this out. Here's what I'm thinking about next Saturday. Next Saturday, I'd like to maybe invite. I have room for 250 people in this one room. It can be broadcast. It don't have to be, but it can. It will be recorded, though. And to have a discussion across the board about what we need to do, what direction, because those that are proficient in technology and that can get online like we do and do what we need to do and talk, since COVID-19, we can't meet at the public libraries. We can't meet in these other places, and that's probably a good thing because – let's meet right here and we'll use Google Meet, but we'll record it and load it to YouTube later on so other people can see it, because I think that we have to start at a place where, you know, there's a structure in place And we won't just leave it exclusive to people in the Twin Cities. We'll do it across the board and let all people come in, but mostly black people, and try to get a direction.
Yeah, where is the guy from St. Louis? Where is the guy from St. Louis that called, the big Trump supporter? He calls in and he's going to vote.
No. We're not talking about Trump right now. This ain't got nothing to do with Trump.
I'm online waiting. You just opened my mic.
Okay, stand by. Hey, guys, hold on. I finally figured out how to get the
Can you hear me, Paul?
Yes, I can hear you, but at first we couldn't.
Okay, go ahead.
There he is.
Okay, go ahead.
What is it that the gentleman is asking?
No, I mean, Anthony, what do you have a question for him?
No, I just want to hear a comment.
Oh, no, he just...
Well, see, here's the thing. It's the issues what's important. Let me tell you something. Joe Biden has said that he's going to get rid of the oil industry. He's going to harm it. Well, let me say this. Look at the black petroleum companies like Hightower in Ohio. Hightower ranks number 10 on Black Enterprise Top 100. Their revenue increased 18% in 2018. I'm sorry, increased 66% in 2018. His revenue is about $434 million a year. That's the only black petroleum company in the country. Do away with oil, he falls. He started off coming out of being a janitor. What does he do also? One thing, he contributed to civic and social issues in the community. ExxonMobil, they contribute to Southern, Morehouse, Xavier, and other civic and social issues in the community, especially in Louisiana. What happens to them? Who's going to fulfill that? So those are issues that a individual that's considering on voting for anybody should put out there on the table. The cause and the effect. And nobody has been able to answer that. I think that really, Ron, that if you look at it, people take one step forward and three backwards. They don't realize the harm that things cause. We talk about crack cocaine. What harm does it cause? And that's the way other political issues do, too. Getting involved in this Paris Peace Accord, the money, what it is that the rest of world governments want the United States to come in because the United States like to fund things. Well, can those funds be used someplace else? You got another politician talking about cutting back on defense. Well, how many African Americans are employed in the defense industry, in the United States military? Over 400,000. Boeing said at the end of next year they're going to lay off 30,000 because of this pandemic. It's issues. Not the character of the person. It's the issues. As I often say, look at Marion Barry. He was a crack addict. But he made a lot of black millionaires in business, so much that when he went to jail and came back, guess what they done? They wanted some more of that, so they voted him in again. That's where your Trump supporter is at. I'm still a Donald Trump conservative.
Okay. Thank you for that. But that's not even the argument, Anthony. That's not even the argument he's making. He made some valid and salient points about black people and their connections to other black people and what happened when they fall off. Okay? And so if they fall off like that, we can't criticize that. We just have to look at that and, like, how do we solve that? How do you get Harris and Biden or Biden and Harris to maybe not do some of the moves? Like I told you earlier in this show, they're considering Amy Klobuchar, our Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar, for a U.S. attorney. Well, there's an article that came out, and her biggest thing that she has an itching for is to break up Google. So if I started a big company and I made this money and you want to break up my company, you're done. Don't go after Google because they can go after you. You know what I mean?
Google.
Okay, it's 10:29, guys. It's been a great show. It's been a good
eight.
Going up again, we're broadcasting live right now on YouTube, a couple other places, and we're using some different technology. And I appreciate everyone tuning in.
Hey Ron, can I make another quick statement? Google is number one on National Society of Black Engineers most preferred employers.
Go ahead, Dad. Go ahead. Just a minute, caller. Caller, I'm going to let Anthony say what he needs to say, and then I'm going to let you see what you need to say, and then we're going off air. Go ahead, Anthony.
Well, I'm glad the caller from St. Louis called in because he's been a avid Trump supporter, and he's actually educating me on there's two sides to everything. There's two sides to everything, and I want to listen to what we're doing. We need to have this discussion. We need to continue this discussion. But the thing is, and I'm going to just tell people what I know. And if they don't like it, they don't have, you know, everybody's got an opinion. That's a great thing. And a great coach, Kenny Green, said everybody in this country can have an opinion. The great thing about America, which you don't have to listen.
Okay.
My final word.
Okay. Thank you. Now, caller, what did you want to say before
I heard you mention about your attorney general, the person that's coming out of your state, and she wants to go after Google. But just so happened that Google leads National Society of Black Engineers most preferred employers. You know, in the top 10, you got Google, Apple, Boeing, GE, NASA, ExxonMobil, Lockheed Martin, Amazon, Microsoft, and Chevron Corporation. So we have to look at the cause and effect.
So they're going after the top technology companies that employs black folks. Okay, we see it.
Yeah, so it's there. We've been following the breadcrumbs pretty adequately. And with that said, I'd like to thank everybody for listening to All Black News, another episode. We appreciate you tuning in, and we'll be back next week, same bat time.